Can't stop thinking about the song that Samantha was singing. You know, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Do you guys ever feel the tension of like physically being here and the things that we love, the people we love, and then equally our soul really longing for that moment where we are uninterrupted in the presence of God? That tension is real. I feel that sometimes singing some of these words and singing that all I want is you, and then walking out this door and guess what? I got other things I got to do, right? And so that just impacted me so as they sang that, just thinking on one day we will be in the presence of God and we will be uninterrupted by our own sin, by the things that are happening around us. What a glorious day that will be. So if you guys would, if you have your Bible, turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 13 through 17 today. The book of James is a practical book. It's very direct in some ways. It's a really good if you need a good kick in the tail, you go and read James. It'll remind you that there's some things that you probably should be paying attention to. So it's going to be great for us today. I approach this moment. We're going to be talking about just really the concept of like the brevity of life, that life is short. Our time here on earth is not as long as we think it is, how we feel it may be, and just the implications of that. And so I'll give you a little back into it. You think for each of us, we all have a different, kind of view of that. We've all experienced death at different stages of life. And so some of us will go years and years and years and years and years before someone we know or love passes away. That concept of life being short can just vary. And just different seasons of life. So for me right now, particularly this year, I've had to travel more. And with my kids being younger, that has caused me to think on just life in a different way. It's caused me to think on the reality that as I travel or as I get on an airplane, which seems like a very basic thing, but as I get on that airplane, I have now, maybe it's just as we get older, but now I start to think, okay, well, what if this is the last chance I have to tell someone, you know, how I feel about them? And, you know, now that I do it even more, it starts to just weigh on me. One day turns to 2 days, 3 days, and now 3 days away, I feel like my kids have learned everything there is to learn about life, and I missed all of it, right? For some of you, I don't need to explain that life is short. You know that. You know that because maybe you've had kids, and guess what? Those few moments at the beginning of their life that you thought you would never survive, you may would be like, I'll take that back today. I'll do it again today, right? The one advice somebody gave me when we were pregnant with Hayes, I guess I wasn't pregnant. I just participated, Anyways, they bought us this rocking chair, and they said, we bought you a rocking chair particularly because we hope that you would sit there and hold them and think about the reality that that's going to go away really fast. And I didn't realize it with Hayes, and so then when Harvey came, I tried to be even more intentional, but I still didn't realize it, right? So I don't need to tell any of you life is short, but that's what I am going to tell you today, Because I think James, and the way he was writing to them and the way we're going to receive it today, there's much for us to take from this passage, more than just maybe what we have taken from it before. We may have read this passage and have thought, well, I just won't plan as much, or I'll just say, if the Lord wills, okay? I mean, we could simplify it, but I want us to take some things out of this and apply it to the reality that as we sit here today, we do not have tomorrow. That's it. All of us in the room know this. Do our lives reflect that? No, more often than not, they do not. They don't reflect that I could leave and oh, I loved being with everyone on Sunday and I'll see them next Sunday. You may not. You may not. And so I want us to talk about that reality, what Scripture has for us today. So let's look in verse 13. I'll read down to 17 and then we'll jump into some thoughts here. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and we will make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It is here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. If you've never read that, those few verses, again, James is very direct. I mean, there's not much that we need to sit here and be like, well, I don't know what he was trying to say. He said it, okay? The trick is, we read this, and again, we sing songs about, we do, and then our lives just naturally don't always reflect that. Today or tomorrow, we're going to go to a certain town, we're going to stay there a year, we're going to make profits. Is any of that bad? No. It's not bad. In fact, he didn't say we're going to have a loss. He said he's going to make profit. That's even better, right? He's speaking that out. His business is bad, but he's going to make a profit because he said, right? But it's not bad. But what James is trying to say to us is that if we get going in all the things, and we're believers, right? I mean, he was writing to believe. Hey, oh, we're believers. I trust God. I believe in God. I know that he, you know, works things out for my good. I know that God provides for me, right? I know what the scriptures say about I don't have to worry about my life. I know all those things. And then I sit and look at our budget and I start to be the man that I am and I start to work all the things out so that when I get to the next day, I'm not actually having to trust anyone but myself to make sure it happened, right? And we've talked about in our home group, as men, we feel that differently, right? It doesn't mean that there aren't women that feel that, but we feel a sense of, we talk about it with our the other dads in the home group, the reality that, like, we have a responsibility to care for our family, to, you know, make a living, to provide for them. Balancing that with trusting who God is and what he has said he will do is challenging. It's hard. It's hard to say, I mean, in this case, I'm making good plans. What's wrong with that? No, what's wrong with that is I forget that I'm not in charge. I forget that I'm not the one who gets to actually control what tomorrow will be. Yes, you may have figured out your retirement and you may have put it over there. Guess what? Things change, right? We had dinner with some good friends of ours. She was a teacher of mine. And I remember going in, I was going to just share and get some advice about work and, you know, just life. And he just shared that his 401k took a hit. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't even got a 401k, so, I mean, it must not be that big of a deal. He was like, casually, yeah, just over the last couple months, I've lost about $500,000. And I'm like, you have what? Right? You can plan for some things, and it just isn't going to work. You are not in charge. You are not in control. And so what he's saying here is not bad that you and I plan. It's bad that in our planning, we forget that we are not in charge. It's bad. What's bad is that in our planning, we get prideful of what we are able to accomplish on our own. We get prideful of what we are able to put our hands on and fix, right? We can fix a lot of problems for the people around us, or so we think, right? And so in doing all those things, we can forget, and in forgetting, not realize that, oh, yeah, I trust the Lord in all those things, but do I really? Is that really evident in the way I live? He says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? How do you know, this is the question he poses, what your life will be like tomorrow? Well, generally, we would look at this and go, well, I don't. Maybe I have a guess. Maybe I know what's on the schedule for tomorrow. Maybe I know what I intend to do tomorrow. But as I just kept reading over this in light of just some of those things that I was thinking in my own life, I read it and I start to think, like, I don't know the things I think I know. And God and God alone knows what tomorrow will be. Right? And now this, if you and I affirm that begins to like open up some other things about our understanding of who God is. And as we start to dive into, okay, well, if I don't know what tomorrow will bring, and guess what? My wife doesn't know what tomorrow will bring, and the person that always tries to tell me what tomorrow will bring, they don't know. Only God knows. Now it's changing how I view who God is. Right? Now he's the only one in all the universe that knows tomorrow. That's a big deal, right? That's a big deal. So when you and I are sitting here like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to do this. That's not possible. I'm not going to be able to do this. Okay, who do you know that does? Right? Who do I know that does? I know that God knows what tomorrow is. It had me thinking about the reality. So kind of three realities that I want to just pull from today. I was just thinking about life and this reality. I mean, it goes on to say that, you know, we're but a mist that appears for a little time and vanishes. I mean, how humbling, right? You know, let's summarize your life. You're a mist and you vanish and, you know, thanks for being here. You know, it's great, right? But the life you and I are living in this very moment is an expression of grace. It is the grace of Creator God that is allowing you, sustaining life within you for even you to be present. And that changes how we view who God is. It changes how we view our circumstances. If I understand that apart from Creator God initiating and sustaining life for me, I don't have it today. Right? I mean, let's look at just some verses that we know. I mean, John 4:4, the Word gave life to everything created. The Word Jesus, in the beginning, gave life to everything created. Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus sustains all things by the power of His Word. So I don't know what tomorrow will bring, and my life is, you know, short, and it's vanishing, but the one in whom I have placed my trust is sustaining my very life now. Right now. Colossians, in him all things. Colossians 1 says, in him all things hold together. Acts 17, 24 and 25, it says at the end of those verses, he himself, God, gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. So even the question, you know, what is our life? That's in there, right? What is our life? Like, well, one, it's given to me. It is fully sustained by God alone. I don't create life. Death is earned. Death is earned. The wages of sin is death, and we can look back at all. We can look back at multiple things in Scripture, multiple places where, praise God, he's not doing some of the things he did back then. Because if he thought people were crazy and he needed to flood the entire earth, it is a measure of grace that you and I are still alive today. Right? Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, what they do, they go up there, they say they gave, but they didn't really. And guess what? Right in that moment, first one of them shows up, they lie, they die. Right? They lie, they die. Some of you already lied this morning and you're still alive. It's just but do you know what I'm saying? Like we take that for granted. We take it for granted that we have life in us, and we think somehow, you know, we're sustaining that and we're doing all the things. And I mean, okay, take care of yourself all you want. But guess what? There's a day, and by the way, since it's fleeting and vanishes and it's like a fog and it's fast, it's coming real soon. That it doesn't matter what you've been doing, your time is going to come to an end. Right? Who is sustaining my life now? 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, I charge you in the presence of God, this God who gives life to all things. You and I have life today. We're not talking about tomorrow. Because again, you don't get to bank on tomorrow. We have life today because he's given it to us. And this will be important as we get to the end of our sermon today, right? He's given us life today. I mean, God spared Adam and Eve. That have caused all this for all the rest of us. And instead of snatching them up right then, which is what most of us in this room would have done, he clothed them. Life is an expression of God's grace towards us. Brief as it may be, he is so gracious to give us life. When again, death is what we have truly earned. There is nothing you do today. There's nothing you've done previously that is granting you or you have earned the ability to still be alive. And it may seem repetitious, but I think it's important. Because if you're like me, we forget this. We just wake up. We just go and do the things. Right? Forgetting that even in our sinfulness, even in the things that maybe we're like, well, you know, like I'm not as bad as I once was. Okay, well, it don't matter. You still were bad enough. What else is it teaching us? How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. Life on earth is short. It's short. There are so many passages in Scripture that this reality is expressed. And, you know, even some of them I feel like I've read at different times, but just this reminder that what we think, some of you are probably in seasons, I mean, we're all in different seasons of life. Okay, so for me right now, I feel like I'm in a season where things are passing really fast, right? Life is happening faster than I feel like I can keep up, right? For my wife, even though we're living in the same house doing the same things, she's pregnant. Life ain't moving very fast. She feels like it needs to move faster, right? We need to get here. We need to go. Some of you, you may be in a season where you feel like it's just so long. This season is so long. It's not ending. Right? You can think back on moments of life where you thought, this will never end. This that I'm going through will never end. Or I hope this will pass quickly. Then it passed quickly and we're like, gosh, I wish I was still doing that than now doing this. Right? We feel that. We feel those moments where we say like, oh yeah, well, I'll do more of that tomorrow. And then before you know it, 2 years has passed and that opportunity is gone. Right? Life is short. Psalm 103, it says, for God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. Again, how encouraging. Am I right? Like, thanks for being so encouraging to us. Hey, as for you all men, your days are like grass. I don't know. I'm encouraged. Are you? He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone. Its place knows it no more. Psalm 39, it says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. Each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? It finishes with, my only hope is in you. Job 14, how frail is humanity, how short is life, how full of trouble. We blossom like a flower and then we wither. Psalm 102, my days pass away like smoke. The short. Our time on earth is brief. The moments that we have, the moment that we have today that has been given to us, it's going to end before we know it. And as we think on this passage in James, again, it's not that, okay, well then we should just walk around thinking that we're just going to die. I mean, no. But how is the truth of who God is and the truth and the reality that we don't get tomorrow, how is that shaping today? I mean, what are the things that you and I chronically are like, I'll do later? I'll spend more time with the Lord later. I'll pray about that later. Hey, I'll pray for you later. And then I don't. Right? How many of those moments are we living testimonies of, yeah, okay, I said I would do it. I haven't done it. Life is short. Making the most of it is what we're tasked with. Psalm 90, I want to read a little bit extra out of Psalm 90. You guys are welcome to turn there if you'd like. I'll start reading in verse 1. Psalm 90, starting verse 1. Lord, this is a prayer of Moses. Lord, through all the generations you have been our home, before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth, the world from beginning to end, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals, for you 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath, ending our years with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80, but even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they will disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. And in verse 12, he says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Right? Teach us the truth of those things so that we would grow in wisdom for today. Right? Teach me to understand that reality so that my time that I have before me right now would be used as you would have me use it. Life is short. Job 14:5, you have decided the length of our lives. You already know the months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. In Luke chapter 12, you may remember there's a story of a rich man, and he had amassed a lot of crops, and he had so much that he was like, well, what am I going to do with all of these crops? Well, I'm going to build another barn, and I'm going to fill that barn with all the crops I can. And he says, I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Wouldn't that sound good? Wouldn't it sound good to store up, do all the labor? We're not being told that he's doing something wrong by storing things up in the sense that he's, you know, worked hard and he's preparing. We're not being told that, right? But what happened? He decided, well, I have fully taken care of myself. I've got this. We're good. Eat, drink, and be merry. And what did God say? God said, you fool, today you die. We hope God doesn't say that to us, right? I mean, we could sit here and be like, well, look at this guy. But what a message. I mean, God said, you fool, today, this very night, you will die. Then, who gets all that you worked for? A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. To store things up. Now, again, life is short. The things that we're working towards, the things that we're fighting for, the things that we give our worry and our attention may need to be reset in light of that reality, in light of the reality that life is short, that things can be taken, that things aren't always going to be like they are, that you may not have all the things set up like you think you do. I found a statement from a missionary, and I found it to be pretty spot on with what we're talking about today. Listen to this comment. A life once spent is irrevocable. It will remain to be contemplated through eternity. The same may be said of each day. When it is once past, it is gone forever. All the marks which we put upon it, it will exhibit forever. Each day will not only be a witness of our conduct, but will affect our everlasting destiny. How shall we then wish to see each day marked with usefulness? It is too late to mend the days that are past. The future is in our power. Let us then each morning, enabled by God's Spirit, resolve to send the day into eternity in such a garb as we shall wish it to wear forever. And at night, let us reflect that one more day is irrevocably gone, forever marked. I mean, you imagine if we lived our life in such a way that we did, just even in a small sense, assess at the beginning of our day that, hey, today may be my last day. So whatever my hands are having to do today, I'm going to do it. to the glory of God, right? This, I don't think any of this is for us to be like, well, I have to stop everything I'm doing and all I can do is go out there and preach the gospel on the corner. You'd be missing it. That's not the point. The point is, as I go through the things that each of us have different areas of life, we're all doing different things, and we all encounter different people all day. Right? If I woke up in the morning and I said to myself, instead of saying, well, whoever I got to go to work with today, she's driving me nuts and I got to go deal with her. Right? The customers I got to go deal with, the kids I got to deal with, all these things. Instead of that, if we said, today may be my last mark on humanity. Is that going to change anything for us? I believe if that's how I woke up in the morning, probably darn so. I think I'd be a better husband. I think I'd be a better father. I think I'd be a better friend for sure. I mean, without question, if that's how I woke up in the morning, it would change things. And if at night I paused to recognize that what has already passed from that day is past, maybe that would also, you know, relieve some anxiety from our life, right? This coming to the end of the day wishing we could have done this or wishing we should have done this or maybe coming to a close on that day and going, it's done. I messed up today. I wasn't the best husband. I wasn't the best father, but it's done. I got to figure out if I wake up in the morning, how it's not going to be the same tomorrow, right? I missed that opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with so-and-so. And instead of letting that be, you know, a pain point for 5 days where you sit on and you think, I'm the worst, I'm the worst, I'm the worst. Maybe you close that night and you wake up tomorrow morning and you say it's going to be different. Right? Our lives would be different. The people in our lives would be loved in a way that's different than the day before. I pulled some, it's from an Australian nurse. She only worked with folks who were on their last days. And she compiled 5 regrets of those who were dying. And I thought they were interesting. I don't think they're end all be all, and I don't think they're from a Christian perspective necessarily. But I thought they were interesting to think on as we think of just the reality that life is short, it's brief. And we do come to the end of our nights sometimes wishing something would have been different. But these are just some of the ones that they said. I wish I had had the courage to live a life true to myself, not what others wanted. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. I wish I had let myself be happier. Again, not necessarily from a Christian perspective, but isn't it interesting? I mean, we all are going to come to that point where we're either going to have moments where we say, gosh, I wish I would have done this. I mean, just the other day, someone that I worked with years and years ago at the water parks, we did weekly Bible studies at the water parks together. I went to her wedding. She reached out to us when we got married. But we haven't talked often. And just the other day, Mom and Dad had driven to Edmond. And they had met someone there for dinner, a family member. And that family member was late to dinner because of a bad accident. And it was a day or two later, I saw on Facebook that it was the mother of this girl that I had worked with, and in Edmond there was a bad accident, and her husband died instantly in that accident. And it has furthered my thought on this subject because, you know, not that I now beat myself up like, well, I wish I would have been a better friend to her. No, but it's just this reminder again. I mean, we can hear story after story after story, like, things end. Time passes. And what we have before us today, it really does matter. And so when you start thinking about someone and you think about them and you think about them and you think about, oh, I'll reach out to them and you say, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow, you may not have that. You may not have that. When our, I called him Uncle Harry, when Dad's best friend Harry passed away, I had texted him. I was told that morning that he was in the hospital. It wasn't abnormal necessarily for him to be in the hospital, and you'd always go visit him in the hospital and he'd say some wild things. Tony and Susie graciously went with me one time to see him in the hospital, and he would just say wild things. That's what he did. And I had texted him that morning and I said, get your rear out of the hospital. He never read that message. He didn't make it. You know, and again, just those moments of life that you know and you think on, and each of us have them in different ways. My sister's version of that was different. He showed up at a volleyball game that my sister was working, not even 2 or 3 days before, and she said, and she would tell you to this day, she saw them and knew that he would talk for a long time because that's what he would do. And she thought, I'm just going to have to not go over there. And she said she could not walk away. And she turned around and she went back. And it wouldn't be till 3 or 4 days later that she knew that was a measure of grace from God, that she stopped for a second and just was present for the day. Right? And so we have these moments where we need to remember that life is short, that it is fleeting, that we have the opportunity really just to own what's in front of us today. That's all we have. We have to leave the rest to God and who He is. I don't know how many of you may have been wondering what this rope is for. I almost tried to swap it for a different analogy because Samantha gave me one. And this is your mid-sermon, well, maybe near-end sermon laugh break, because Samantha gave me permission, okay? But I just got to tell you, let's just pause on what I'm saying. Is that okay? I'm going to tell you something funny. It's to revive you so we can finish. Samantha, she's faithful up here, serving up here, working hard. She was working real hard this morning. So much that she realized she had forgot deodorant. And she's faithful, though, to this congregation. So faithful that she Instacarted deodorant to be delivered to Lake Sharon Community Church. You're faithful, Samantha. She knows every day counts. You know what I'm saying? She got to leave her mark smelling good today. Okay. Unpause. We back to serious business. Listen, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Francis Chan did an amazing analogy on one of his sermons. If you've never seen it, it's a really great sermon. But he took a rope like this, and he said the rope, you know, the bulk of the rope is going to represent eternity, right? In our eternal life after death. And then he took just a small portion to represent really like what we've been talking about, how brief life is. And it's just this one little green mark, right? And, you know, again, for each of us, like, life feels much more long and stressful and all the things, right? Like, we feel like there's no way this is taking forever. Some of us are like, Lord, come back soon. Some of you more than you, you admitted it. You're like, Lord, come back today. Don't make me do it. But it's this is how brief our life is. And so the things, I mean, think about. Now, in that context, let's think about it in that context. Think about, for those of you that had kids, think about how small that little portion is. It's so small, it's so brief, right? Think about that honeymoon. It's even briefer. It was short. Then, I mean, you think about marriage, you think about, I mean, that lifespan, you think about growing up, like, it's those seasons of life are small. They fade so fast. And what are we going to do with today? As we finish up, I feel like, you know, this passage gives just that renewed sense of life, gives us purpose, right? The reality that God is sustaining our life and He's giving us life today, the reality that life is short, the reality that I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. If I compile those things together, now I can sit here and actually start to believe that the life I do have today is for a purpose. It's purposeful. And that may be today that you are a husband that puts on display the love of Christ to your wife and to anyone that will watch. That may be the purpose today. Your purpose may be that you're at a restaurant where some girl has been just wearing it out and people have just worn her smooth out all day, and instead of whining because something didn't come out right, you may, for this moment, on this day, be able to show her a measure of grace that nobody else all day has shown her. What do we do normally instead? We get on Facebook and we say, she was the worst. La, 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 la. Join me on Sunday at Lake Sharon. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know how it is. And ain't nobody... Y'all wrong for that. We wrong for that, right? I mean, but that's the reality. That's the reality. And so it's like if I take all those truths and now I affirm those truths, well, then I have to equally affirm that the life I have today is purposeful. God intends it to be purposeful. He wants to use me today because I don't have tomorrow guaranteed. He's equally not trying to do so you get to tomorrow. Or he would be saying that, hey, I've been prepping on you. Even though you don't know about tomorrow, I'm really just working on you for tomorrow. That's how we interpret it. We're like, thank the Lord he's working on me all these days so then one day I can be nice to so-and-so. Right? That's not it. We have today. He has given us all we need for today, and the real question is just what are we going to do with it? I loved this quote. You are immortal until God's purpose for you is complete. Nothing's going to change this, right? Until God is finished with you, He is the sustainer of your life, not someone else and not you, right? If God's got a purpose for you today, nobody else is going to get in the way of that unless He Himself is going to allow that, right? It gives us confidence in the things that we're called to. Listen to some of Paul's words just about his own life. It says, but I do not account my life of any value or precious to myself, if only that I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Right? To realize today, I don't need to hold my life as anything more valuable than God has given it to me. It is a gift from God to be used for His glory today. The people around me. Listen to this. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We've heard this passage. Sometimes we kind of stop there and we say, okay, well, you know, if I live, it's for Christ and I get Christ. And so, okay, that's great. If I die, it's gain. And that's where some of you start to say, Lord, take me home. But he says, if I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Amen? Nobody's disagreeing. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for who? Him? No. For someone else. God still got me here, therefore Right? To remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus. Right? What's he saying? I mean, what he's saying essentially, until God's going to call me home, yes, it's better if he calls me home today. Praise the Lord. Let's go. But he's not. In fact, he may have woke, he closed his eyes, said, Lord, take me. And then he woke up and he said, well, I guess I'm still here. It means fruitful labor. Let's go. Right? What if we woke up in the mornings realizing that, well, he didn't take me yet, so now I got things to do today. Right? And if we would allow the truth of those sayings to come behind this purpose in our life, it would fuel that in ways that we probably haven't seen yet. It would fuel in us a confidence that I can go and do the things God has called me to do, because he's got me fully. I'm not going anywhere until he says, right? I love this prayer from, it's a small collection called Valley of Vision. And listen to it. It says, turn my heart from vanity, from dissatisfactions, from uncertainties of the present state to an eternal interest in Christ. Let me remember that life is short and unforeseen and is only an opportunity for usefulness. Give me a holy desire to redeem the time, to awake at every call to love and godliness, so that I may feed the hungry, clothe the naked, instruct the ignorant, reclaim the vicious, forgive the offender, diffuse the gospel, and show neighborly love to all. Let me live a life of self-distrust and dependence on you alone. If we would make that the cry of our heart each day, if we would recognize the opportunity set before us and not choose the route of, I'm going to establish all my plans and I'm going to work all things out on my own, what would the Lord do in our life? What would he do in our circle of influence? What would he do for the people that we love? How would their lives be impacted by our commitment to see the day differently? Right? The good news is, this is how I feel. I feel like it's unattainable in myself. I feel like I can't do it. Yeah, in myself, I can't do it. But if I start to lean into who God is and what he's promised and what he's communicated to me, I can do the things that we'll sit here and amen and say, yes, yes, yes. We can live that out. That tension doesn't have to exist anymore. We don't have to sit around and be like, well, I can't. Like, I'm the worst. I'm the worst. I'm the worst. No. God's got you here, and he's going to equip you to do the things that he's called you to do. So I hope as you think on these scriptures, as you think on these realities, that you would ask yourself, like, are there some things that you've been putting off because you think you have tomorrow to do? And I'm not just talking about like lawn care like me. I've been pushing off lawn care to every other day hoping that something else will happen, okay? But I'm talking like, what are some things that you are pushing off that you know in your heart that God has called you to, and today is the day for that, right? Is there someone that you have not made right with that you've been saying, well, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll have the hard conversation tomorrow, today? Right? And I'm not trying to get you all stirred up and think, oh, he's making me do all these things. No, first off, I ain't making you do nothing. The Lord is, okay? So you need to receive it from him that there are some things that we need to start to reset and go, okay, that's right. I don't get to push off discipleship to tomorrow. That wasn't like, go therefore and make all disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations tomorrow. It didn't say that, did it? Okay, it didn't say after you've had 19 Bible studies that teach you how to do it. It didn't say that either. But that's how we are. We start to push the things out, right? No, let's be done with that. Let's be a church. Let's be a body of believers that are marked by how we are engaging the present, right? How God has given to us today and what we will do today in light of those things. Pray with me.